Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. We are back with another episode of the Macro Monthly podcast series with UBS Asset Management. Each month, we do look forward to hearing from top investment professionals from the UBS Asset Management multi-asset team. Joining us for this month's episode, glad to welcome back Evan Brown, portfolio manager and head of multi-asset strategy, as well as Fatou Kanté, multi-asset specialist, both joining us today from UBS Asset Management. So with that, Evan, Fatou, thank you for spending some time with our clients, our listeners on today's episode. Fatou, let me now pass it over to you to lead the Q&A.
Thanks, Dan. Welcome, everyone. So for today's call, we'll touch on some macro, we'll discuss the latest market headlines, and then we'll close out with positioning in our MAP portfolios. So we'll start with you, Evan. Growth has been quite resilient, but the labor market has lost a lot of momentum. And in the meantime, inflation is starting to rise as a result of tariffs. With this backdrop, how should investors interpret the current market, the current economic environment in the U.S.?
Yes, thanks, Fatou. And there is a lot going on with the economy. And as you say, that we're seeing really strong growth, but weak employment. If you look at the GDP revisions that we had for the second quarter, showed growth at almost 4% annualized. And what we're tracking, or Atlanta Fed has their tracking of GDP growth for this quarter, and they're tracking it at another 4% print annualized. And so really strong growth, but at the same time, the labor market has slowed to about stall speed, and we just had a negative print in the ADP report, which is a private measure of payrolls, getting extra attention right now with the government shutdown likely to delay Friday's employment report. So what's going on? I mean, I'd say number one, the driver of growth is that the U.S. consumer, even with employment slowing down, the U.S. consumer keeps spending, which is really a function of strong balance sheets. People in aggregate are wealthier, they have less debt, even as job growth is slowing. And then the second thing has just been AI CapEx, which has been very strong and might be contributing anything from 0.5% to maybe a full percentage point to GDP this year. And that has nothing to do with employment, nothing to do with interest rates. It's just, straight spending and contributing to growth. In terms of what we're seeing in the job market, a lot of it is the decline in labor supply as a result of Trump's immigration policies. But we're also seeing a decline in labor demand, and we see that with the unemployment rate rising a little bit. And you probably link that to general caution due to the tariff uncertainty. So, but the key thing is, we've seen a slowdown in hiring, but we have not seen a spike in layoffs as of yet. So where we are here mathematically, right, you have what is productivity? Productivity is output over total hours worked. Total hours worked, that growth is slowing with the labor market, but growth is strong. And so we're in a high productivity environment. And that's, I think, even before we're seeing the effects of AI improving productivity. I think we're just seeing corporate dynamism, better allocation of labor, moving around supply chains and such, and overall, just finding a way with fewer workers to drive growth. So overall, I see this as a pretty good thing. I mean, we don't want the labor market to unravel. That's not what we're seeing just yet. But overall, I think it's a solid environment. And just to wrap up, you mentioned inflation. We are seeing tariff-driven inflation. It's starting to pick up, and we've got UBS economists are thinking it can start annualizing as much as 4% over the next several months before fading over the second half of the year.
So, given these mixed signals in the economy, how exactly does the Fed react? They just cut rates last month after holding off since late last year. And so, do they keep easing, even if inflation is moving higher, or would we see a resume of the wait and see approach?
Yeah, we think they keep easing. So, I mean, the Fed has a dual mandate, and that's full employment and price stability. And note that their mandate does not include GDP growth. It is full employment. GDP growth has been strong. Full employment has been weak. And the Fed has decided to lean into that full employment part of their mandate. They see the slowdown in the labor market, and they're saying, you know, A, we think rates are already in restrictive territory. They have their projection of what neutral is. The neutral rate is around 3%, and we're just above 4%. So they're saying, okay, we can cut a little bit to get down to neutral. And also, we don't want to see, you know, this slowdown in the labor market lead to, you know, a negative spiral where you have people getting laid off and then consumption coming down and more layoffs and you know, recessionary forces taking hold. So they're taking out insurance against that kind of outcome. And on the inflation side, they see the tariffs as really a one-off price hike as opposed to the start of an inflationary spiral. So they're looking through the near-term rise in inflation. And the fact that inflation expectations are not spiking, that's allowing them to do so. So, as you said, we've had one 25 basis point cut. We expect them to cut two more times this year, and then one to start next year, which will bring the Fed funds rate closer to 3%, where they view neutral.
The October edition of your Macro Monthly, titled Asia, Reform, Innovation, and Room to Run, just came out today. What were the main takeaways there?
Yeah, so the first thing is big picture. When you're in an environment where the Fed is cutting rates and there's no recession, and the dollar's going down, I mean, that tends to be a great environment for risk assets in general, but particularly for emerging markets and Asia. And that's what we've seen historically, and certainly that's been the case over the last month. But that's the top-down view, and that misses a lot of what's happening on the ground in Asia. And start with China, where what's happening with technology in China is very, very compelling. I mean, in AI, just to compare with the U.S., you know, here we're focused on winning the AI race. We want the absolute best models. We want to reach, you know, AGI, super intelligence, all these buzzwords as quickly as possible. In China, there's more of a focus on the cost efficiency of the model and on really the applications of that, of the existing technology. And so it's kind of a different approach, but one that we're seeing them be able to monetize pretty quickly. And, you know, you have still this technology, this competition on technology between the U.S. and China, and export controls U.S. semiconductors to China. And so China's being forced to develop their own semiconductor stack and own infrastructure. That's separate, but it is working for them. And so that's something that is pretty compelling, what we're seeing going on out east. And then also in the region, you know, you look at Korea and Japan, both countries driving really powerful corporate reform agendas, you know, regulators, governments focused on improving governance of corporations. That's leading to an increase in buybacks. And, you know, what's been the case for these countries and also for a number of emerging markets more generally has been this inability to channel better growth outcomes, both domestically and externally, into shareholder returns. And now there's this policy impulse to change that. And we're seeing that reflected in the buybacks. We're seeing that reflected in earnings per share. And we think that's a structural theme that has a ways to run.
Great. And then, you know, circling back to the mixed signals you're seeing in particularly the U.S. economy, you know, what risks are the team keeping an eye on right now? Is it inflation sticking around? Is it corporate earnings coming in weaker, or a softening labor market?
Yeah, so I'd say it's all of the above. I mean, we're always keeping an eye on risk, and obviously it's been a very strong run over the last several months for risk assets. And we're looking out for what could go wrong. And I would say there's two sides of risk. One is that the labor market, you know, that hasn't unraveled yet starts to, and you do see that spike in layoffs, and we head towards a recession. The Fed cuts are coming too late. Definitely not our base case, not what we see in the data, but it's possible that that happened. And you know, we don't have the U.S. data, official employment data, as I mentioned, coming out on Friday, so we're having to look at other measures, and so keeping an eye on private sector measures of employment and the like. The second risk is that actually, you know, it's the GDP growth that's telling the true story, and the labor market is actually going to accelerate, but you have a like kind of tighter constraints because labor supply, the overall labor supply is lower, and you start getting a reacceleration in wages and inflation. And that leads to, you know, a sell-off in the bond market and the stock market. Again, not our base case here, but something that we're watching. So we'll have to see if that does turn out. You know, does the Fed respond to it? Do they get more hawkish? Do they stay dovish? You know, are they what's happening in terms of the nature of the new Fed chair? So I think these are all things that we're going to have to be looking at next year, and we're going to have to look at the data and how it's playing out over over the coming months. And we're also just highly attuned to corporate commentary. We have earnings season coming up, and we'll see what companies are saying about underlying growth. So. We're keeping all these risks on top of mind here.
Thanks, Evan, for that comprehensive overview of our views.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG, member FINRA SIPC.